We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello and welcome to Kits and Wagers, where we discuss kits and wagers in the Premier League. I am Adam Zdrojek, joined by Chris Owen. We both work at RotoWire. Chris, you went to the big CCL match last night in Seattle against Pumas. Seattle, the first ever MLS CCL champion. How does it feel? How does it feel to be the hometown team here?
Great. It was a great game to go to. Obviously fun to see them win. I didn't have an MLS team before I moved out here a few years ago, so I've adopted them since and have been to quite a few games. It was really cool. Great atmosphere. 68,000, I think they said, in the stadium. The Pumas fans were awesome. They were cheering, chanting all game, stuck around for the ceremony after, and I thought that was a really cool part of it. But yeah, awesome game. I think Seattle kind of dominated for most of it. There was a couple opportunities for Pumas, but otherwise Seattle just they started pegging the ball around in the second half, and they got the breakthrough, kind of a lucky deflection from Raul Ruy Diaz in the first half. But I thought it was coming for a bit, and then I think, what was it, last 20 minutes or so, they got two more goals. And I thought the highlight for me was Nico Lodero's goal at the end. It was probably like 85th minute or so. And he caught the deflection. I think Jordan Morris hit it off the post. Lodero just tucked it home, takes his shirt off, runs to the supporters, and he's just celebrating with them. And then after, he gets his card, and then he's about to put a shirt back on, he just holds it up to the stadium. It was like Messi in the Bernabeu,
Bernabeu a few years ago. Yeah, I saw the side to side of Lodero and Messi there.
Yeah, it wasn't quite as cold as Messi doing that, like that stoppage time winner when he was in the Bernabeu and then takes his shirt off and holds it up to the supporters. But it was really different. Cool to see. Yeah, really cool to see. So, this is Kits and Wagers, and one of the more impressive things for me, and that's been fun to watch this season, is the development of Obed Vargas. He's 16 years old. João Paulo went down with an injury early in the first half. He's their like stud defensive midfielder. And he went down, was carted off, essentially. And Obed Vargas comes on, and he bosses the match for the rest of the game. At 16 years old, I mean, when I was 16, I wasn't up to anything. I was like, dude, I was up to no good, frankly. And so that inspired me to I got my old youth soccer jersey here that I would wear when I was 16. Still fits me, frankly. And so I was like, all right, Obed, I'll pull mine out for you. So
I was inspired by that. Got the jersey on when I was 16. There we go.
that's the only parallels between he and I. We played soccer at 16, but otherwise they end there. And yeah, great game. Makes for an afternoon coffee necessary today, but we're hanging in there.
Yeah, I saw the game ended about midnight time for me, so it was probably a little later for you just because of you're at the game. So I'm sure there's celebrations after. But Yeah, just in terms of Obed Vargas, I wonder if he's one of the guys who could go over to Europe. I mean, he's only 16. I mean, we have like Gianluca Busio from Sporting KC, just these young guys that make the move over to Europe. And I mean, you could see Vargas going over to Europe in the future, but
yeah, definitely. He's from Alaska too, so I think he's a U.S.
That's basically Europe, so.
Yeah, closer to Russia than Europe, but yeah.
I mean, same thing.
Right.
Well, for now, I guess. Same thing for now. Yeah, we'll see what happens. But yeah, I just went with my old school Germany kit, and I pulled it out because unfortunately I have a bet on West Ham to advance in the semifinal against Eintracht Frankfurt, and it looks like Frankfurt are going to win. So I was like, okay, Germany. So I'll pull out my German kit, and so here we are. My bet will lose, but I guess my kit will do something. I don't know. Whatever.
I have an Eintracht Frankfurt kit that I'll have to get out for the final.
Well, that's if West Ham don't come back. But West Ham are, what I see, plus 3,500 to advance right now. So if you think they can come back right now down a man, they have two goals. They need two goals. So this is like a Real Madrid, Manchester City situation, except they're down a man and away from home. So there you go.
Yeah. It's going to be tough for them.
So game week 36 in the Premier League, we're going to be discussing, we got this Liverpool-Tottenham match, pretty big match for both sides. And then we got a couple, I think every match we're talking about has some significance in the table. For every team outside of, I guess, Aston Villa. We're talking about Aston Villa and Leeds. But before we get there, sorry, Aston Villa, Burnley. And I guess that's the first match we're talking about. So Burnley are home against Aston Villa. Burnley are, I guess they're technically above Leeds in the table, but they're actually even with Leeds right now. Both have four matches to go. Everton have five matches to go. Both Burnley and Leeds are two above Everton. So points are still needed here. Aston Villa sitting on 40. I mean, their goals are really just kind of, you know, just for fun, play for the top 10. Hope they can get there kind of a thing, because they don't really have anything overall to play for outside of, I guess, technically, if they don't get another point, maybe they'll be relegated, but that's an extreme case. But Burnley to win plus 200, and you got Aston Villa plus 145. And then draw is plus 235. Over 2.5 goals, plus 100. Under 2.5, minus 125. Burnley at home have been pretty good since Sean Dyche have left. Do you think Burnley can win this one?
I do. They're in great form. They've taken 10 points out of a possible 12 over the last four matches. They are playing a little bit more progressively, at least from my perspective, than they were under Sean Dyche. Aston Villa, not, you know, they're... They won last week 2-0 over Norwich, which was good to see, because they had been on a little bit of a skid prior to that. I just think the narrative of, you know, Villa's kind of in just like middle of the table purgatory here. Just like they're safe. I think that they're 15th on 37 points, but they should be okay. But I think Burnley just, you know, continuing to fight for that relegation battle. I just think that they're going to have a little bit more motivation. Sorry, I said 37. Aston Villa are 13th on 40 points. Burnley sit on 34. So anyways, yeah, I just think Burnley have that motivation to stay out of the relegation zone. They're playing much better than Villa are. Villa heading into Turf Moor, which is, you know, traditionally a pretty tough place to play. I think that I like Burnley in this instance, and I would go for them. What did we say, plus 125?
Plus 200 for Burnley to win.
Oh, plus 200 at home. Whereas Aston Villa are actually favored on the road. I, you know, we've talked about this in the past, but teams away in the Premier League just seem to, you know, it's tough to get those results. And Burnley, motivation, playing at home, playing much better. I think for all those reasons, I'd rather go Burnley here at plus 200.
Yeah, the funny thing about Aston Villa, we were talking about what Crystal Palace and Southampton, who draw a lot. Aston Villa, away from home, they have 6 wins, 1 draw, 10 losses. So wow. It kind of seems like one of these teams is going to win. Before I looked at that stat, I was like, probably like 1-1, scoreless draw kind of a thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, you look at Burnley's results, and it's still kind of hard to actually, like, they are getting wins, which is more than you could say under Sean Dyche.
Yep.
So that is the positive. But, I mean, Watford, they got that. They came back against Watford last week, their prior home matches. They beat Wolves. They beat Southampton. And it's just kind of hard to read. Like, how much are we putting into those games? I don't know. Aston Villa are, I guess, kind of a similar team in that aspect. You don't really know what you're gonna get out of them. I wouldn't say they actually played overly well against Norwich last week. It was just kind of, you know, they beat Norwich and Norwich got relegated with that loss. But I don't know if they actually looked good. But I think the big thing with Villa is they're still, it seems like for the most part, that they're still limiting chances to other teams. Their last away match, they allowed only five shots and 0.3 expected goals at Leicester City. I know Leicester City rotated, but that's still a pretty good stat, no matter who you're playing away from home. And I think this is going to be kind of a lower scoring game. And what we're getting -125. So I'd probably look at the under 2.5 in this matchup.
Something noteworthy too is they haven't played yet this season. I think they had some COVID. Was it COVID cancellation?
Oh, that's right. Like, two of their last four are against each other. That's right.
Yeah, so they'll play each other twice here in the matter of about 2 weeks. So they haven't. They're not. You know, we don't have that sample of earlier in the season what happened. So it'll be interesting, especially maybe the second matchup will be pretty interesting too, is because you know they'll have that familiarity with each other. And the previous time out, it was last season it was 3-2 Burnley, which is kind of in opposition of the low scoring affair we're expecting here. But the previous ones, 0-0, 1-2, 2-2, 1-0, 1-1. So not particularly high scoring events in the past, dating back quite a few years here Villa have been kind of yo-yoing between the Premier League and the Championship.
Yeah, you also got different managers, so.
Right.
How much are we putting into that?
Yeah, not enough to really rely on.
All right. So I actually like – so I said under 2.5, but both teams to score – no on both teams to score is +110. So I actually like that. You're getting more money, and I think one of these teams is going to fail to score. I don't know who. I think both teams could win 1-0, could win 2-0. I mentioned Aston Villa, how they limit chances, but on the other end of that, Burnley – what were you just talking? Back-to-back clean sheets at home. Just overall better team defensively. They haven't allowed, I guess they allowed that goal to Burnley, but +110 on that. And I just think that is pretty good. So even including the 2-0 win against Norwich last week, Aston Villa have 4 goals in the last 6 matches. So you combine that with Burnley, and I'm surprised that you can get plus money on both teams. No on both teams to score. You like that one too?
But a little bit better odds there than the under 2.5. I still think they're both intriguing bets, but both teams to score. I mean, if it ends up 1-1, whatever. But you could you could kind of hedge there. You know, if you want to.
Yeah, but it's not going to be a draw though. That's already no draws here.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Villa doesn't draw, so. I don't know.
A winner. No on both teams to score. Mark it up as a winner.
And
best bet number one.
There we go. Adam's giving them out. Watch out.
Next game we're talking about. We got Liverpool. They're back at home. They were in Villarreal on Tuesday. Liverpool are home against Tottenham. And I guess we'll just read off the table for all these games here. Liverpool still fighting Manchester City for top of the table. Tottenham currently fifth. They are 2 points back of Arsenal. And it seems like they're going to finish fourth or fifth in the table. Manchester United have Tottenham have 2 games in hand compared to Manchester United, who are 3 points back. So it seems like Tottenham are going to be in that fourth or fifth spot. So both teams still a lot to play for. We got Liverpool -210 to win. Tottenham are +600. Draws +390. Over 3.5 goals +135. Under 2.5 is +145. Are we going with the over 3.5 in this Liverpool game? I think I am. Are you going back to your roots here in the over 3.5?
Their last two matches have been over 3.5. Earlier in the season was that it was 2-2, they drew, and then last season back in January it was 3-1. Prior to that, we hadn't hit over 3 goals dating back a couple years. But yeah, I mean both attacks. This is a dangerous game. Tottenham are just so good on the counter. Liverpool probably going to possess the ball for quite a while, and just like, you know, Tottenham can kind of strike like lightning here on the counterattack. But yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting. Liverpool getting one more extra day here than they had last week when they did the Villarreal to Newcastle. Now they on a Wednesday to Saturday, and now they'll do the Tuesday to a late Saturday kickoff too. So should be interesting. I think we'll see a fair bit of rotation. Sounds like they've just are playing so many games, and then quickly they're going to turn around and play Tuesday against Aston Villa. So I wouldn't be surprised to see, you know, a little bit of rotation, at least up top. Probably Konate comes out and Matip comes back in. Maybe, you know, Robertson or Alexander-Arnold getting a little bit of rest. I think Trent will probably stick in the lineup. But, it'll be interesting to see what they do with that. But, yeah, I would still bet the over on the goals. Over 3.5 is a bit of a – I'm a little weary of it, but you really don't get any value at over 2.5 minus 180. So if you're going to do that, you might as well, you know, ante up and go with the over 3.5 for plus 135. Both teams involved in games with a lot of goals recently too. So I think that's probably the play here. And yeah, that's where I'd go with it.
Yeah, there may be some rotation. I just wonder, just because they're playing Tottenham and then they're playing Aston Villa, I wonder what their rotation is going to look like. I mean, we'll probably – Keita started midweek. We'll probably get Jordan Henderson back. And, Jota started. Well, I think he only went 45 minutes and Diaz came on. But Diaz will probably start now. We'll see how much they rotate. They haven't been doing too much, I don't think, just in terms of the – with Champions League, with league play, going back and forth kind of a thing. They haven't been doing that much.
I think – Yeah, I mean, Gomez came in for Trent last Saturday. Right.
Was that last match. I guess it was that Newcastle match where they rotated probably more than any other game, really.
I wouldn't be surprised to see Andy Robertson probably get a rest here. Kostas Tsimikas probably maybe coming up left back. But other than that, you know, they did start Milner last week. If you're watching here on YouTube, Adam's got the game pulled up. But yeah, Matip, I think just left back's probably prone to it. And then another part of that fold is Bobby Firmino. I think he's been training this week, so I don't know if he comes immediately back into the starting 11, but just offers him another layer up top.
Yeah, he probably won't start. I don't even think he made the bench. He traveled midweek, but he did not start.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just think, like you said, just the counterattacking, I think this will be up and down. I think there will be goals. I mean, we saw early in the season, it was 2-2. Tottenham had 2.58 expected goals from just 10 shots, and Liverpool with 1.46. I think there's just going to be goals in this game. I think Liverpool in range for 3 goals, and then you just got to hope that maybe – you hope it's not, you know, one of those 3-0 kind of a games. Liverpool get a couple early goals, and then – they kind of sit back and they don't want to allow those counterattacking goals that Tottenham are kind of famous for. So that's kind of the worry, but I do like the over 3.5. Do you like, I mean, Liverpool minus 220, is there any route here, draw or Liverpool minus 1.5 kind of thing?
I mean, I kind of usually steer clear of those ones just because I don't feel super confident. But I thought, you're talking goals here in this match. One thing that I find pretty interesting is you can get Harry Kane anytime goal scoring odds at plus 225, which is pretty high. They played earlier this season. Harry Kane scored in that match. So, I mean, you usually find him, I feel like it's below plus 200. So if you're like, maybe that Liverpool back line has been playing a lot of minutes lately, there's going to be some rotations, you know, some confusion. So maybe Harry Kane plus 225 is something that I would be kind of a fun bet. And then for Liverpool, you can't Mo Salah still minus odds at minus 110. But interestingly enough, you can get Luis Diaz, who scored and was honestly, I think he was the man of the match against Villarreal on Tuesday after coming on at halftime. But you can get him at plus 180 on some anytime goal scoring odds. And if you really want to get crazy with it, plus 550 as a first goal scorer, which would even be another layer of complexity.
Yeah, you can find some advantages if you just shop around these goal scoring lines. I mean, it's not like Luis Diaz should be 180 and then Mane is plus 140 and Jota's right. plus 125. Like, that's what we're looking at DraftKings right now. So if you look other places, there may be something else. But just based off these, it's like, why not just bet Luis Diaz?
Yeah.
But yeah, Harry Kane plus 225. I'm currently in the middle of what is turning out to be a poor goal scoring bet. So I kind of got a bad taste in my mouth. I bet Jared Bowen and both Kel Antonio to score. And then, you know, West Ham got the early red card. So both those guys were like plus 260, plus 270 to score at Frankfurt. And clearly I got duped in this bet because of that Cresswell red card. But
yeah, never could have foreseen a 19th minute red card. That's kind of, you see that and you're like, all right, I'm turning off the game.
Yeah, unfortunate for that one. Unfortunate for any betting on Premier League teams during these competitions. I think I left the last show saying I was going to parlay West Ham and Leicester to win last week. Neither team won last week, and it looks like they're both going to lose today. So too bad for the Premier League. But
I do have some season-long bets still at play here. I've got Liverpool plus 400 to win the Premier League. I've got Liverpool plus 900 to win the Champions League. So
there you go.
We're all in on those.
Yeah, I got Liverpool plus 500 to win it. I did that before the season.
Nice. You got better odds than I did.
Yeah. All right, next match we're talking about. This is Sunday. We have Arsenal against Leeds. Again, two teams that are playing for something. Arsenal, as we said, fourth in the table. They're 2 points ahead of Tottenham, and Leeds they're getting there. They're only 2 points ahead of Everton, even with Burnley right now. So these teams need points, and Arsenal are at home, minus 220 to win. Leeds are plus 600, draws plus 380. And the over-under is kind of similar to the Liverpool match, which is kind of surprising to me, but over 3.5 goals is plus 145, under 2.5 goals plus 140. So according to the odds, it seems like it's pointing to like a 2-1, 3-1 Arsenal win. Is that kind of what you're thinking?
Yeah, this one it's tough to do to determine here. Arsenal getting ready. I mean, both of them and Tottenham are really fighting it out here for that last Champions League spot. They are going to – is the North London Derby next week? I think it's the 12th. So – So Tottenham's got Liverpool this weekend, Arsenal with a lead side who are all, you know, definitely in danger of going down here. They're 2 points above Everton in the table. So they could really use, you know, whether it's a draw or win, something. They need points out of this game. And then, you know, Arsenal potentially looking ahead to that North London derby, which could be pretty pivotal in the chase for the Champions League. So part of me wants to see Leeds come away with a decent result here, but I just think that them going into the Emirates, you know, I don't feel super confident. You're not really getting, if I was to go either way here, you're not getting great odds on the overs. You're minus 175 on 2.5, plus 145 on the 3.5. So if you think it's going to be like 2-2, 3-1, you know, that's your route there. But other than that, the under 2.5 seems interesting. From my perspective, just because Leeds potentially going to – I mean, we'll see what Jesse March lines them up as, but potentially going to have to play a little bit more defensive here to try to steal a point, at least in an away match.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with Leeds. So Stuart Dallas broke, I want to say, his femur last weekend. So Stuart Dallas, who I'm pretty sure started every game up to this point for Leeds this season – he's out, and playing at left back is Junior Firpo, who was pretty much torched by Manchester City last match. And the question, I mean, you mentioned Jesse March. We'll see what he wants to do. He's had some positive results, but I think some of that, you got to look at matchups. And then, you know, they lost 4-0 against Manchester City. But, I mean, their last three away matches, they won 3-2 at Wolves, which, you know, they benefited from a Raul Jimenez red card in the 53rd minute, a definite benefit. And then 3-0 at Watford. Okay, Watford, how much does that mean? And then they should have lost at Crystal Palace, but they got a point out of that one, scoreless draw. So we're still kind of well, who were we talking about earlier? Villa, I guess, Burnley. Just these teams with these new managers, they've had like an easy run of schedule, so it's still kind of hard to see how they actually perform against, you know, just these better teams and these mid-table teams kind of thing. And Arsenal had a couple bad matches in there after some injuries, but now they win at Chelsea, win against Manchester United, win at West Ham. They're playing really well, and I know Leeds have had some positive results, but I'd say this seems more like a 2-0 kind of a result for Arsenal, because it's not like Leeds have been great offensively. I brought up those three goals at Wolves and three at Watford, but I don't even know how much you can put into that. So I feel like I kind of like the under in this one, and maybe like Arsenal to win with a clean sheet, which is probably like plus 150 or something.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, Leeds which is funny. We're talking unders here, but Leeds have given up the most goals in the Premier League at 72 goals, which is, you know, one more than Norwich City. So it's not like they've been real good defensively. Right. Arsenal, on the other hand, you know, have the sixth most goals in the Premier League. So kind of a recipe, you know, the more I talk about it, the more I think maybe there's going to be a few more goals than I initially thought, but just from those statistical viewpoints. But yeah, I don't know. Leeds like played Man City kind of tough last weekend. I know it ended up 4-0, but it was 1-0, 1-0 in the 13th. And then they had some opportunities towards the end of the half. They played tough in the beginning of the second half. And then City just, you know, their quality showed, and they just really ran away with it there in the second half. But yeah, I think something noteworthy from that is like they weren't playing, you know, park the bus ball. They were getting out there, they were attacking, they were trying to possess the ball a little bit. And so, you know, I don't see them really steering clear of that strategy against Arsenal. Arsenal definitely not even close to City's level. So I'm intrigued to see it, but yeah, just they need points in the worst way.
So the last two Leeds away matches, actually, maybe we could pull up the last three. But I mean, that game at Wolves, you can't even really look at the numbers just because Raul Jimenez had a red card. So it's hard to look at the numbers. But last away match at Crystal Palace, they managed 9 shots, 0.59 expected goals, scoreless draw. They were outplayed the majority of that one. At Watford, they got 3 goals. Were any of those PKs? No, they got 3 goals on 10 shots and had 0.71 expected goals at Watford. So, I mean, you can take what you want from expected goals. That obviously doesn't mean everything, but it kind of shows like how difficult were your chances. So last two matches, away matches against okay teams, like they didn't get great chances, basically, is what it comes down to. So if you think that Leeds are going to get shut out and Arsenal are going to score more than 2, I don't know. I just think that Jesse Marsh wants to play a little more defensive than Bielsa used to want to play. So I think that's kind of why I'm leaning towards the under in this one.
That's fair. I'm taking over 3.5 plus 145.
Fine. I'm taking under 2.5.
All right. We'll fight about it next week.
So yeah, we got so best bet corner, and
it's more of like an oval. It's like a cushion chair.
9,
like one of those love sacks.
9 straight winners from your boy over here. Nine straight fade winners. I didn't say best bet winners. Sorry, fade of my best bet. 9 straight. I mean, what else is there need to say? I said what was going to happen last week between Arsenal and West Ham. I took under 2.5, and I said by halftime there's going to be 3 goals. Almost made it. Third goal hit in the 55th minute. So I'm going for 10 straight. I don't know if I've ever had 10 straight. Well, I take that back. I won ESPN streak for the cash. So I hit 25 straight. So I've hit 25 straight at one point in my life. So I'll take that back. But just in terms of this podcast, 10 straight. Let's do it. I'm going Crystal Palace. They are home against Watford. Crystal Palace against Roy Hodgson, who I think he just said today that he's not coming back to Watford, former manager of Crystal Palace. So you got Roy Hodgson on his way out. You got Watford going down to championship. I guess it's not guaranteed yet, but they're going to go down. So you have that. What do these guys want to play for? Maybe they're playing for contracts. Maybe they're playing for, you know, whatever next season, but they just haven't really looked good in a long time. When these teams met earlier in the season, it was 4-1. Crystal Palace had 4 goals from 7 shots. And I don't know how that happened, but Crystal Palace, we also say on the show, they're a team that's much better at home. And I don't know how Watford are going to come away with a point in this game. I'm taking Crystal Palace -1 at +120. So if Crystal Palace win by 1 goal, you get your money back. But if they win by multiple goals, you win. So there you go. I like that. I think Crystal Palace, this is a smash spot. I think they could win by 3 goals. So if you want to go something like that, go there. Go -2.5, something like that. But I think they're going to control the ball. They're going to get better shots on goal. And I think it's, this game's over. It's done.
Here we go.
But right, the fate of this means Watford are going to win. So think about that.
Yeah. Well, you say 1.5 or just lose by 1 goal?
I'm taking -1. So.
Oh, okay. All right. So, yeah.
I guess in that situation, it could be a draw. Yeah.
A draw. So. If you're following along here and you're a fan of the podcast, you've been listening for the last 9 weeks, your best bet here is to take Watford draw or win, and you should probably hit
it. Just take draw, now that we think about it. Crystal Palace have 14 draws this season. That's most in the league. So shouldn't we just go that route?
We certainly could. Unfortunately, I used that same thought process last week on the Southampton Crystal Palace game. Both, you know, top 2-3 teams in draws. And, you know, it was looking good. It was 1-1 until Wilfred Zaha hit a 92nd minute winner. It was like +2 something. So missed out on that. But yeah, so if you've been following along, the move here is Watford draw and or win.
You can get draw at +300.
Yeah. I'm trying to find, Oh, here's an even better one. You can get Watford double chance +130. So should you want to fade Adam's bet, he's on a bit of a hot streak here. I think your play is double chance +130. You're still getting plus odds. Okay. So yeah, there you have it. That's not my best bet, but that is, you know.
Your best bet is the fade of my best bet. that's what you should have done the last 9 weeks.
I should have done that. That would have been great entertainment. But yeah, now I'm almost talking myself into this one now. But yeah. that's my secondary best bet is Wofford double chance +130.
Good bet.
My actual best bet, as I mentioned, I think I'm on a 2-week losing streak. I missed last week on the Southampton Crystal Palace draw on a 92nd minute winner from Wilfred Zaha. We're going to bounce back this week. A couple of good ones out there that I did look at. I think, you know, these are two that I'm interested in, but I'm not going to go with. We had Newcastle, double chance, winner. That's winner draw. They're playing at Manchester City. A Manchester City side who, you know, they've had a ton of injuries. They just played 120 minutes on Wednesday. They are, you know, likely mentally fatigued after crashing out of the Champions League. But you can get Newcastle +450. Kind of intriguing. They've been playing better, but those are huge long odds. So if you want to take a bit of a chance. And then Brentford, +125. They are hosting Southampton. Pretty good odds there against the Southampton side, who's been pretty unpredictable. But skip, you know, if you like those, go with them. But for me, I think the best bet here is I'm going to target in on that Chelsea-Wolverhampton game. I believe Chelsea is hosting Wolverhampton. And both teams, you know, not really putting the ball in the back of the net whatsoever. I'm going to focus on the under 2.5 goals at -115 as my best bet. Wolverhampton have the they've conceded 32 goals against, which is good for fourth in the league. They've only scored 33 goals, so pretty impressive. And that's tied for fourth, the fourth least in the league. So, you know, you do the math there, but not a lot of goals that they're involved in. Chelsea, on the other hand, you know, they've got a £125 million striker who doesn't even play. So that tells you what you need to know about their strike options. You know, they have not scored many goals in the past few matches. So I really like this one, and I feel pretty confident that it's going to be under 2.5 at, -115. So go with that one. And under 2.5 at -110. So if you feel even more confident, check out the under 1.5 at +280. You get even better odds.
I like that one too. I wrote about it in my article. Check it out, rotowire.com. Yeah, I mean, you look at pretty much everything you said. Chelsea, you also got the Chelsea factor of Thomas Tuchel said they play worse at home. So you got that in there. They've scored. They couldn't score at Everton last match. They scored one against Manchester United. They scored one against West Ham. Pretty much since the Southampton match, and I guess the Real Madrid match, technically, they haven't really scored more than two goals. So you combine that with Wolverhampton, who looked pretty bad, and seems like a winner. Probably I'll go with like a 2-0 Chelsea win kind of thing. I wouldn't be surprised if it just went scoreless, because, hey, that's kind of what these Wolves matches do. But I wanted to give an update here on Europa League before we go. We have West Ham. David Moyes got sent off in the 38th minute.
Hell yes.
So Frankfurt is going to make it. But in the other match, not currently watching it, I'm not sure how much time is left. They're in stoppage time. But Nkunku had an equalizer. And then John Lundstrom, former Sheffield United midfielder / defender, whatever you want to call him, got goal. And Rangers currently set to face Eintracht Frankfurt in the Europa League final. So pretty exciting for Rangers here.
Yeah. I mean, that'll be interesting. Also interesting from the fact that, you know, Steve G was there. They qualified. They won the Scottish Premier League last year. They qualified. Now they're, you know, the team has continued to play well, and they're looking down the barrel of a final here. I have no idea where the final is at for that game.
That'd be Villarreal, I want to say. No.
No, that stadium's way too small.
I saw it somewhere. I forgot the...
I'm looking it up as we speak, as we close out this beautiful episode. It is in Sevilla.
Okay. I was close. I knew it was somewhere like central, southern, whatever, Spain. So.
Yeah, sweet. And then other one, Leicester City looks like they're going to crash out of the Europa Conference League. They're down 1-0 to Roma. We're in the fifth minute of stoppage time. So
it looks like Feyenoord's going to take down Marseille.
Nice. Yeah, should be fun. Business end of the season, Adam.
Business end of the season. And, of course, there are, six midweek matches next week. We did the midweek matrix a few weeks ago. Maybe we'll do that again. Yeah. I'm not sure what the schedule looks like, but there are a lot of matches next week. So no matter what, there will be content up at rotowire.com. If you play DFS, there will be DFS content. We'll see if there's betting content. We'll see what we can provide for the people. But, Chris, we're going long on this one. We went long talking about this big Burnley-Aston Villa match. But
yeah, for the people, by the people.
Chris, your best bet, Chelsea Wolves under 2.5 goals, getting close to even odds. And my best bet that you want to fade is Crystal Palace -1 at plus odds. So there you go. That's game week 36 for the weekend matches. And hey, check us out, rotowire.com. Chris is at CHROWN8 on Twitter. I am at RotoZadroit. Chris, thanks for joining me. And congrats to the Sounders once more. See you next week.
Thanks, Adam.